right, so
You see
sorry
me?
everybody, the late start, but here we are. It's the War Room. My friend, new friend Warren has joined us. Warren called me or emailed me. I can't remember how you reached out, and just kind of introduced himself that he had kind of written some resources that he's been so his therapist and his PO both like him so much that they're like, hey, Warren, can you do more helpful things for the universe? And so Warren's been trying to do helpful things for the universe. And the first thing he's going to do for us today is he's going to share with us this thing he wrote up called the Emotional Toolbox. And we are also playing with a brand new thing called Mentimeter, so that people can like engage with it while he's talking. So I'm looking forward to kind of launching the Mentimeter for the first time with us. And there we go. Take it away, Warren. Introduce yourself and tell us all about what we're going to do tonight.
I gotta adjust this. Okay. I figured out a couple things. I'm not sharing my screen yet, am I?
Nope. Oh, and Chuck, did you have some guidance for how he should do this versus a share or not a share? Does it matter?
Yeah, it's not necessary to share your screen. Anne and I did this after we switched over here. So you don't share your screen. You just need to launch the app from within Zoom.
So unshare and instead go to that more dot 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 and choose apps and then try to launch it from there.
Okay. The problem is I don't have the presentation set up on your deal, so it probably won't show up.
You'll use the number or you'll log in, either way.
Hold on. Get out of this
We had a
and.
long session earlier with Warren trying to get all this set up, but we just had no end of crises. It was like crisis after crisis after crisis. So eventually, Chuck and I figured some stuff out, but Warren's just been, his computer's been a real pain in the butt today. Is
Oh,
that an accurate assessment?
it's a probably got a lot to do with operator.
Sure. I'm not saying my problems
Because
are often operator error too, but
now I'm stuck on multimeter. It's not that one. There's one of these. Pause. Is that it? Nope.
I mean, Chuck, couldn't we just do it as a share screen and just people do it separately, or is it worth trying to figure this out, do you think?
Why is it not?
It's almost like we didn't spend 2 hours on the phone earlier today.
Yeah, really. And that did nothing. Oh, there. Okay, I got something back.
Right. So now go down to apps or more and apps.
More, still no apps.
It might be at the bottom of your screen under apps.
No apps at the bottom of my screen.
Is the more dot dot dot
Say
thing down there?
it's the Linux system.
So are you using the Linux version of Zoom or are you using a web browser?
Well, whenever I hit the thing, it came up. Yeah, I'm using the Zoom.
The app.
I'm using Zoom. I'm logged into Zoom right now. I've got it all up. The only way that I can do it with Linux is through the web browser screen machine screen. I don't know why that's the only way it works, but that's the only way it works.
Right. Well, I guess we can just have Anne
We'll
do
just make it. All right. Let's just make it work that way. So sh just do the share screen thing again, and people can just do it from their phone or wherever. It's not getting.
it. There is.
Okay, so can we just explain to everybody how to do this? So this Mentimeter app that Warren's going to be using during his conversation with us, what you're going to do is you're going to go to menti.com, and you'll have to do this either beside the War Room Zoom, like on your computer, like on your browser, and you just go to menti.com, and then you enter the code that it's very tiny, but you enter that code up there. It's 1840. 2933 1840 2933. So enter that, and then after you enter that, it's gonna you're gonna join this Mentimeter thing, and you'll see on your computer what Warren is showing us right there, which is a little tiny to see. Can he make that bigger, Chuck? Do you
Yeah,
know?
I can. How about that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
And for those that have access to apps on their computer, they can go to apps, and within apps, they can search for Mentimeter and then launch Mentimeter and put in that number, that 1-840-2933.
Which Chuck just put in the chat.
Yeah, I just put it in the chat.
All right. Either way, Warren, I think whether people do this using the more apps thing or whether they do it just either on their phone or on their computer doesn't really matter. But I would say just start talking because this first slide you're going to just be talking anyway. So,
Well, this has been quite a journey for me. Whenever I first got out, I had this idea that you could actually thrive after incarceration. I had the idea that you could actually make a living and provide for your family. And I found out that I wasn't emotionally prepared for it. Prison does not teach you about emotional regulation. It teaches you how to be quiet, shut up, and disappear. And that's their whole goal, because as long as you're doing that, then they've got you under control. Just a little thing to let you know. In Missouri, the best research that I've found, we are spending $2 million a day on incarcerating men and maintaining the registry.
wow, $2 million a day?
A day. That's not a week, not a month. A day. $2 million a day on incarceration.
Wow, it seems insane.
So, how much of that would be better spent on the other end in the prevention field? We all
Well,
know how that would
that's.
work. That would be awesome. Not that I see that it would happen. So this
Yeah.
next slide, uh-oh,
They're not letting you go forward.
it's not letting me do the next one. Even this, oh.
Well, why don't we go back to what we were doing before and just let me put it in there. Let me do the share because I could get that going on my screen. Probably might already be going on my screen.
Here, I can do it this way. I was trying to cheat. Well, that is not showing me the next screen. Okay.
So you want me to do it after all?
Why is
I think
Yeah,
we works with you doing it, Dan.
it worked better when I was doing it earlier. So let me see if I can't get this. Go to home. Welcome, Warren Honeycutt. Recently viewed, meeting checkout. And basically now I share my screen.
No, you just launch it in the app.
Oh, launch it in the app. Okay.
And then you
Launch.
could on the collaborate at the top after you.
Okay. Okay. So I'm gonna launch it in the app. I'm gonna say present. Okay, and now Mentimeter wants to start collaborate mode. I'm going to say allow. And now, is it true that people should be able to drop?
I'm a participant.
Okay. All right. So now we're in. I switch to the next page. What season is hardest for you? How do people like log into this to vote on this? Someone just voted for fall.
Through the Mentimeter should be on the side.
Should be on everyone's screen.
Okay. And if I want to vote for winter, oh, I just click it.
Well, I see winter and fall. Mine is actually summer.
But you probably can't play the game because you're busy, because you're the, oh, no, wait, I'm the presenter. So you should be able to click on that and it should vote for whatever you say. So everybody who's playing the game, everybody who's here, all whatever, 13 of us, you should be able to click on one of these things. And your vote will be registered and shown for us on the screen. Hopefully, we're not all exactly the same.
So far, we're all different.
Yeah, I mean, so far it's not exactly flat, and we have nothing to like figure out.
Right. And so, for anybody who's not seeing this, go to Zoom apps, type in Mentimeter to find it, and then click on it. And then you can join this 1-840-2933. Or, and you have a collaborate button, don't you?
It asked me if I wanted to offer the option to collaborate, and I said yes. I don't have my own collaborate button, but I think I am collaborating.
I think everyone should have gotten that. I did. I got it and I clicked. I said, yes, I want to join.
Okay, so there's someone else, at least one other person voted.
We've got 4 votes now.
Well, the reason my summer vote is because I was always out on the lake doing stuff. I live at a lake, raised at a lake. Lake has been my life, and now that is actually really kind of been taken away from me.
Really? You can't go on the lake?
I can, but there's so much around this area of just animosity. It goes a long way, especially in jobs. Summertime was always my time to make the money so I could take a little time off of a winter. And I haven't been able to make a regular paycheck since I got out, let alone thrive. So the summer's hard for me. Winter, I can kind of hide out. I'm a carpenter, if that makes sense. And the next slide.
Okay, I'll move forward to the next slide. Okay, so this one says, which holiday is hardest for you? And I thought you were gonna add in there that you could vote for three this time.
You should be able to vote as many times as you want.
Okay, so and you can sort them in order. So
Yep.
whatever is the hardest for you. Now, how come it's not letting me click on this one like it let me click on the last one? Check.
I have to get on the Mentimeter. I don't have it.
I'm going to just get on Mentimeter myself. Go up in the left-hand corner and click right hand. Okay, I don't really know what you're talking about, so I'm going to just keep doing this.
Halloween, 4th of July. Those are Halloween this year was a little bit rougher than normal. Spend it alone, which is not a normal thing for me. I've always felt a lot. I've always needed that attachment, and so then this Halloween being locked in the house, not that I could. I got a shed right out there that's full of tools. I spend 90% of my time, free time, in there, and that I can't even go into that building because of the rules and laws. That's irrational. If it was rational, I could understand.
Is this your first Halloween out, Warren?
No, I've been out for 5 years. This is my first Halloween alone. That's made it a lot more difficult, but I recently decided to be single because of being able to connect with other people. And even
What do you
if
mean
you love
decided?
someone, it's hard to put them in a situation that where it's going to make their life more difficult. So I've pretty much decided I'm friends material. I'll be your best friend, but that's and holidays, Christmas. I've got three grandkids that I don't really get to see. So Christmas is really a hard one too. And I'm sure that's probably the case for everybody. The Christmas blues hits us a little harder. But these are key questions that we have to deal with on a daily basis. So if you go to the
Now,
next slide.
do we want people to be able to raise their hand and ask questions while you're presenting,
Yeah,
or do you
that'd
want
be
people
fine. Yeah,
to?
that'd be great.
Okay, so everybody know that if you wanna raise your hand and make a comment or ask a question or whatever, you go into the React button and you choose Raise Hand, and as soon as I see a hand up, I will call on you
Yeah,
and
for
unmute you.
some people, that'll just be raised hand at the bottom of the screen. Other
Okay.
people are going to reactions.
This one is one I had a, I'd say in making this, I almost had a breakdown
Yeah.
because I was so at the end of what my whole life had ended up after 4 years of being out. And even again, making mistakes, wrong choices, being r friends with the wrong people, just the whole gamut of emotions that I didn't know how to recognize. I didn't know what I was feeling. I didn't know it was important that I should know what I'm feeling because I've been taught my entire life and that you don't show your emotions. You're a man, toughen up, be calm, be quiet, don't make waves. And so the whole understanding how your emotions affects other people and your life, I hate the phrase, you can't fix it if you can't name it. I hate that phrase, and I heard it over and over and over and over in the DOC system.
Yeah.
And that's not right. You don't have to name it. You have to recognize it and give it your own name. But that name is what you got to work on. Work on that regulation, the understanding your emotion. Why do you feel that way? Ask yourself that whenever you're having a rough moment, had this whatever happened, and I have to just say, hold on. And sometimes I have to kind of check out, and you have to give yourself permission to do that emotionally, because a friend of mine lied to me today, and I caught her in the lie. And I explained to her, I said, this is something I wish my dad would have told me. See, now you lied to me this time. I caught you. Now, every time that you tell me something, what am I supposed to think? Do I trust everything that you say? So even me not realizing that in my life was a hindrance and probably put me where I was at in that place. And it can still capture you today. So I like that love's the big one there.
Yeah.
And go ahead and go to the next one.
All right.
Is there any questions?
I do not see any questions yet, but that doesn't mean that there's a question. All right, John.
Warren,
Yes.
do you have something like this for the family members of registrants?
No. This what I
I mean, all of
really
these, I'm a family member of a registrant, and I'm finding all kind. I can
Well,
answer every one of these questions.
I'm sure this booklet would be helpful, and I'm going to make it available to anybody who wants it.
Good. Good. That answers the question.
It's designed the way I designed it is I really want to start a reentry program with housing. And this would be something that someone just got out of prison. They could identify with this because it's kind of got some slang in it. Some prison terms that we normally don't use out here, but to them, it's going to be a little bit more impactful. And with the first 8 days, anyone who's been in Department of Corrections knows that first 8 days, you're not human. It's
Yeah.
just that way, because you are going from the animal state that they're putting you in into human state again. And you got to go through some emotional changes, and it takes a little guidance, I believe. And
Yeah.
hopefully this would be something that they could use. And a lot of it's really personal questions that you don't want to say this out loud. The real answer you don't want to say. So this points out that to them, and they can work on that thought and being able to work on how your thoughts are not who you are. Your thought, you can't control every thought. So that does not define you. You can choose to do your thought or not. That's where we're
Yeah.
adults.
Yeah.
Okay,
Okay.
next.
All right. There was another hand raised, but it seems to
Yep.
be down. Oh, there we go.
Go
All right,
ahead.
Jim, you're up.
Yeah, do you find any kind of connection with church or social group? And do you have any faith in God?
Yes, I am a very strong Christian. I have connected with five churches unsuccessfully. Each time it seems there's one individual in the church that always has some kind of problem. So I am very studied. I spent 14 years in Department of Corrections asking the Bible why a lot. And I got most of my answers that I looked for. And I'm really not an evangelist. And I say that in here quite a bit. I'm not a therapist. I'm not an evangelist. But
Oh, this is not a word cloud.
I have life experience and a lot of it. So what do you keep chasing?
Someone asked in the chat, who were you before?
Who was I before?
Yeah, just give us your like, what'd you do before?
I was a handyman. I had my own business for 11 years. I was making more money than I could spend in a weekend. And I had pretty much everything that I thought I wanted, except my life was a facade because I did not know how to maintain a relationship. I never learned. I wasn't taught as a child. In the third grade, I had a third grade teacher. Whenever it was discovered that I was dyslexic and severely dyslexic, she said it was laziness.
Oof.
So I got punished for being lazy a lot in the third grade. I still have repressed memories from that time period, and I'm still going through therapy for that. But the third grade changed my whole perspective on life because it never, whenever a teacher teaches you that you cannot trust her, then that goes on for, especially when you're 9 years old, that goes on to all teachers. It just keeps perpetuating and going farther down that road. And by the time I was married the second time, I was a wreck. I was an absolute wreck. Everybody would look at me and always got a nice truck. He's always dressed nice, always got good clothes. And he's doing good. He's doing great. There's that whole facade in church. I was the guy that was volunteering to go clean the gutters for the church, help out the old ladies. Just I was always that guy that they called on. But I had that facade underneath that I just got to keep it up. Just got to keep it up. Everybody knows I'm good. I'm doing good. It looks like I'm good. I'm good. And not knowing that that was such a wrong mind train, just my mind was really wrong because of my upbringing. And I think that's a big problem for a lot of ex-gens. Does anyone remember the was it Clint Eastwood movie, High Plains Drifter?
I have not seen that one.
The first scene in it was vicious and would be arrestable. So the content that we viewed growing up was different than today.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Well, my
So
thing that I keep.
you had five attempts to go to church. Like, to me, that's the craziest thing. Like, it's church. The whole point of church is like believing in forgiveness and that
Accepting.
God will forgive you, and if you ask for forgiveness, you can, God loves you regardless. And we're gonna within this place where we're saying, that God was, on a cross between a murderer and a thief, and he you can't go there. Like, I just don't understand what people are thinking.
Well, my thing that I keep ch chasing and doing a very poor job is love. I want that acceptance. I think most everybody has that drive to be accepted, want to be recognized and noticed. And I've never been successful at a relationship. Even a friendship is hard for me to maintain more than a couple years because I never learned that as a child. So as an adult, it's grown considerably.
But you recently broke up with someone.
Yes, I left my wife because it became toxic, to me, her, and her daughter. Her daughter moved in, and it was supposed to be for a couple months till she got her own place, and she just told us I'm staying, and that was not acceptable for me.
All right, should I move on to the next slide?
Next one. If I could say what I need without fear of judgment, what would I say? I think the key word in this is fear of judgment. A lot of times we don't say things that we should say because fear of judgment. So in order to be able to use that fear of judgment, we have to have really a person that we can trust, confide in, so we can
Huh, this one
possibly.
seems to be capped at a short number.
Is it?
It seems like you can't say long things.
Yeah, so it's limited to 25.
Oh, well, then I can't say what I want to say without fear of judgment because it's longer than 25 sentences.
Well, I'll have to adjust that next time.
Well,
it's in the settings.
Yeah, what I was going to type is I'm actually, at least in this phase of my life, I'm fairly clear about, like, I figured myself out pretty well, and I'm not a, like, wait a long time and hope that I'm like, figure out what you want and just say it out loud. So that's kind of how I roll. I say it straight out. What I need, I'll just tell you. Put post-it notes around the house. Hey, don't forget about this.
I like that one.
Come on, XZCC.
You're not,
I don't know what that means.
You two are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I think we want to be perfect. We work really hard to be perfect. And that's our goal. We feel we should be perfect, but I think it's not a goal that we can accomplish. And so we set too high of expectations, and we judge ourselves harsher than anyone else will ever judge us. That's a big sentiment today. But I'm pretty sure that anyone who is on the registry or is related to someone on the registry, whenever you go to Walmart, you ever consider what the other people are thinking?
Not usually.
Well, it kind of hits me sometimes, but I do have a ankle bracelet, so that adds a little bit more of the pressure of being judged, feeling judged.
Yeah.
Not wearing shorts in public. I always wore shorts. Now I never wear shorts. I wore a pair of shorts one time and I felt like everybody was staring at me and I just felt so judged.
Well, and you know, what I've found is that, especially in Missouri, they are ramping that up left and right. You know, people who, you know, when they signed their plea deal, didn't have to have an ankle monitor. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, things have changed. So now you do. They seem to be, and this, I think this is happening in more than one state where they're like, ooh, this could give us some money for a long time. If we just make all these people pay for all this monitoring for all these years, you know, it lets the cops feel important while they, you know, follow you around with their little ankle monitor. And, you know, it's the gift that just keeps on giving, and there's no incentive for them to take people off of that, because that's how they get you in trouble and how they throw you back in prison and how they harass you. Warren, are you still on probation? I think.
Yes.
One more year.
One more year on parole, and then I'm on whatever's after that, because I still have to have the monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they will let me get a watch, but I don't know that that's any better.
Yeah.
I don't know what their watch looks like, but my thing is I judge myself harsher than I should.
Well, don't we all?
And it can stifle. Whenever you judge yourself so harshly, it stifles you and it really puts you down. So this is kind of just be careful of your own judgment. And it's hard not to worry about other people's judgment, but you something you just have to deal with on a daily basis. Next screen.
Okay. Shep says the watch is much better. Looks like an Apple Watch and cannot be noticeable like an ankle monitor, and you can wear shorts.
Yay.
All right. So Shep is saying the watch is a good, can you get a watch now or do you have to wait? For a watch.
I had to wait until I'm on parole or off of parole.
Off of probation. Okay.
On parole, they only have the ones. What could change even the slightest if I get this need met in a healthy way? I was going to circle healthy. I don't know if you can there. Healthy way.
I don't know if there's a way to circle something.
Okay. But does anybody have any answers on this one here?
And was this the need from the last slide?
All right. If I mean, it's just the slightest changes in things in your life can make so much of a difference. And one thing that I have to really watch myself is I'm kind of a night person, and I'll end up staying up all night and
Oh.
knowing I have something to do the next day, and I'll go do it. And I'll do a really terrible job of it, but I
Yeah,
try.
sleep is
And
like, for me,
it's
I learned this years ago that if I don't get enough sleep, nothing good happens. So I try to make it a real, I try to keep a real point of I aim for 8 hours in sleep every night. I mean, not that I never don't get 8 hours of sleep, but I prioritize that
Yeah.
because my
Well,
life is when
I've
I get
had
up.
to change that habit and give myself a bedtime. Otherwise, I'll do that. I'll stay up all night, and it's not healthy. And it's not healthy for me, but it's also not good for what I'm doing the next day. Or whenever I first got out, I got stressed out about going to group. And then after a year, I started in just looking at where everyone else was at. And I noticed a couple guys, they went through the bookwork and just poof, fast as they could, they were out, gone. Didn't learn nothing, didn't change nothing, still the same confused person that came into group. And then there's other guys that just sat there and no participation, just go through the motions. And their time's up, and they end up for some reason getting out off of they sign them off, and they're still just as confused and as they went in. And this is the DOC system that we're working in, and it doesn't teach you how to have healthy anything. And just the smallest change that you can make: drink one less cup of coffee, smoke one less cigarette, get up 1 hour earlier, go to bed 1 hour earlier, can really significantly change big things down the road. But it starts small. And this is one of those questions when guys first get out, is healthy way is something they're going to have to learn. Because in prison, you don't learn a healthy way to do anything.
John just mentioned the next time you do something like this, watch the limits on the number of characters, because this is another one where people are not able to, they've got words they want to type, but they can't type them because they're too long.
Enough.
So.
Well, some of that is because it's the free version and I had to do it on the internet thing. So that limits it as well. But I think I could have opened those up to more. I didn't know that it was adjustable. I'll have to work on that next
Oh,
time.
that's okay. We'll know that next time.
Yep. Next
All right. Well,
slide.
people can just raise their hand if they've got if you've got something that you would like to type but you can't, you could t either type it in the chat where you're not limited, or you could raise your hand and just say it with your words. So I'm gonna put that in the chat just in case
I can't see the
people have
chat.
something that they'd add to add.
There it is. Okay, now I see the chat. This is actually my first Zoom, other than a Zoom call. I think I did one of those with my parole officer during COVID.
Nice.
Next, what is one real thing you wish you could change today? I almost left this question out because it really opens it up, and I didn't adjust this one to where it would be bigger words either. So you're probably going to have problems entering long phrases. But I'm sure we all have a lot of things that we wish we could change. But this is more one of those wishes that are a goal, something that's achievable, that you could accomplish, that could happen today. And looking for those wishes to come true a lot of times brings them into fruition. That's why I didn't. I was going to omit this question because it's so wide and broad, but with it being pointed at real things that can change, you wanting them can bring them on. Your past, as everyone here well knows, you cannot change. There's nothing you can change that you've done. All you can do is change what you do.
Man, that would be nice. Automatic removal. When your sentence is successfully completed, man, that'd be nice.
Oh, wouldn't that? Or just the abolishing of the whole thing would be really great.
Yeah, that would also be really great.
Do we have any questions?
I don't see anybody with their hands up right this minute. So, someone in the chat says, you're doing some good, positive things today. So keep it up and focus on that.
Thank you. I appreciate all those comments.
Oh my goodness. Jeff, 17 years. Ugh, I'm so
Oh,
sorry. Someone's
yeah.
son has got 17 years. Warren, you did 18, right?
Well, my sentence was 20. I did 14 in Department of Corrections and doing six on the street. The actual time that I did in Department of Corrections has been harder, easier than the past 4 years on the street.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. I hear that a lot that
And
it's
it was not good in prison. I'm not saying anything about it was good. There was no part of it that was anything good. But this past 4 years has been a lot. Or 5 years. Yeah, the 11th is 5 years. So just finding your place, finding your people again. Because my people were always carpenters, builders, contractors, real estate agents. Those were the people that I talked to. Well, those people don't want to talk to me today. So that I wish that could change, but that's one of those wishes that would take a big change.
Yeah.
Next slide.
What is one thing you have learned about yourself that may help other people in their daily life?
And again, the responses on this is probably going to be small, but my goal in writing this was not it helped me. So because it helped me, I figured it can help other people. So I'm using it as a tool to help others. Plus, I get really bored when I don't have anything to work on and build. So I build other things, and I've learned to build books. So now I'm writing, learning computer, not very well at the computer yet, working at it. But just the whole process, and I'm 59, and my memory, I'll actually be in a sentence and completely lose the thought, which is a me thing, that. It causes other people to lose trust if all of a sudden we're having a conversation and then I have no idea what we're talking about. So we had to deal with all these different things. And that's a thing that came from prison, because in prison, nothing, you don't see nothing, you don't hear nothing. And then you get out here and you really need to, because people expect you to be able to at least keep up a conversation. And when you're unable to do that, it pushes people away. But this is my way of pushing through that. And I used AI a lot. I am severely dyslexic. Where you see a page of words, I see a page of jumbled up letters. And each word I have to look at, focus on, and identify. Where you see a word and identify, I have to go through each letter. And it's about as severe of dyslexia as you can have. So it's really impacted my education. When I was growing up, I had one teacher in high school, junior high. She says, "I'm sorry, the education system has failed you. I'm going to put you in all the vocational training classes that I can get you in." She had me signed up to take the testing for ADHD. My dad found out about it, punished me severely
For getting ADHD testing?
for saying something to a teacher and about me having a disability, because I don't have a disability.
Oof.
So I was severely punished, and she says, "We'll just do this completely under the radar. Your dad's
Because
a."
she heard what your dad said. She got that
Yep.
information.
So she put me in welding classes, all the welding classes, all the building classes, woodworking, art classes, home economics, all anything like that. She put me in every one of it all day long. And without that, I'd have been in prison probably right out of high school if I'd have been able to finish high school.
Wow.
So the education system, especially with someone with severe ADHD, and then a family that's
Not supportive.
not
Yeah.
supportive.
The opposite is supportive. I mean, what your dad did
So,
is.
right. So that put a lot of pressure on me, thinking, okay, then everybody's this way. I'm just got a problem. And then later realizing, well, okay, it's not everybody it sees it like that. And it took me a long time. Actually, I didn't even consider it until I got out of prison
Didn't
and I
consider
went and got
what?
tested and found out.
Oh.
I waited until I got out of prison and I got tested and found out that I'm severe.
The
And if
dyslexia.
I would have been taught from the third grade, whenever I was labeled lazy, if I'd have been taught then how to work with it, because there is systems to be able to work with it, then I
Sure.
would
Well,
have probably
and the
been able to.
younger brains can do more. Younger brains have more capability. So finding out
Right.
when you're 50, 55 that you have some problem, it's going to be a lot. It's just like learning a language when you're a kid is easy. Learning a language when you're,
Right.
a
So
mature adult is a little harder.
the point in that is the AI, I'll give it a very long script and or prompt and let it make sense out of it, and then I go through all of its trash and figure out what I want to use.
Yeah.
So AI has helped me a lot. It's I don't want to rely on it. I can't rely on it for everything. You have to monitor it like everything else.
Yeah.
I see the workflows and that's fun.
Yeah.
So what? Get enough sleep. Yeah. Oh, I
Yeah.
have started reading books. Actual reading, because it's a good exercise for me. So I found some sixth grade reading level books that I was able to check out and read. It's
Nice.
kind of embarrassing to admit that, but that I'm sixth grade reading level, but it's where I've got to start.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that's not terrible.
Next slide, I do believe.
Okay.
And I believe would oh, there's the Mentimeter thing. Would you be interested in continuing this as an emotional regulation circle?
Yeah, so I put in the chat a little bit ago that somebody said something about support groups, and I put it in the chat that I now have two volunteers. Warren is one of them, and then another guy, Ken, is the other one, who are they're planning on taking Circle Keeper training. I think, what did she say? That was going to be in February.
I believe so.
In February, I have two volunteers that are going to take Circle Keeper training so that after they finish training, we'll be able to offer two different support groups through WAR. There's Peers Restorative Action Alliance has some circles, and there's Fearless groups, but there's lines to get into some of those, and more support groups is better. So starting in the spring, we're going to offer this out. And I think what I'll do is I'll reach out. I get a lot of calls on the helpline, a lot of emails from people who are just looking in for love and support. And I think I'll start reaching out to the people I remember, like people who called, were looking for some connection. Because honestly, even my partner, so I've been to about five conferences, I think, and every time I go to a NARSOL conference or a WAR conference, the whole time I'm there, I just feel like I'm just, I'm like surrounded by people who think the way I think about the registry. And it's really nice, being surrounded by people who feel the way you feel, and not just people who tolerate, like, oh God, Anne's going to talk about the registry again. Oh, here we go. Right. It's really nice to be around other people who feel like we should all be talking about the registry because it's stupid and dumb and it's not helping anyone. Anyway, this year was the first year that my partner got to come with me to a conference. And just, those 2 or 3 days being around people on the registry, I can see a difference in his attitude and behaviors from just that one weekend. Just, he'd never had a friend on the registry. He'd never been able to talk to somebody else about PTSD. You can tell your parents, you can tell your wife, you can tell your cousin, but being around people who could really empathize with him was very impactful for him. And so I think it's really important that we get people circles that they can communicate in. And we have these war rooms, and it's maybe it's nice hearing a speaker telling you stuff about whatever they're speaking about, but the people who are attending don't get as much time to like interact with each other. And that's what we're kind of hoping for by having a peer support circle. I think it'll be
Yeah,
helpful.
I would be really excited about that. The group, whenever you get out, you have to go through your group. I always thought that I think that's a really good idea. I think everyone who gets out of prison should have to go to group for a little bit, because of how much it can help you. Now the system that we have is not really compliant with that, it because of the mandatoryness, and they got to, they're just police officers in fine clothes because they report everything, and every note that you take is public record for them. So there's nothing personal private about it. But I think
And
that
anybody who
in
thinks that anybody who goes into one of those groups thinking that it's going to be like regular therapy where you can really communicate quickly
Yeah.
realizes, and my partner realized right away, oh, anything I say here, my PO asked me about it next week. So
Yeah.
he just quit sharing things that were of any impact to him as a person. And that's not therapy at all.
Yeah, that you're not getting therapy when you get out. You're getting judged, voted on, and because you got three people, they got a sliding scale. When you get out, you're the most dangerous person in the world. What you do until they lose their supervision determines how low you go or how high you go. And if you go too high, well, everybody knows where they go.
John just mentions in the chat that Florida Action Committee reported that as of the 2nd of November, there were absolutely no people forced to register or arrested on any criminal charges stemming from Halloween-related activities. Yeah, exactly. Well, I
Yep.
remember when we were in Jeff City for the Missouri trial about the registry, they got the guy, the head of sex offender, whatever bullshit they do at the State Highway Patrol. He got up
Yeah.
on the stand and they were asking him questions because a lot of what they were talking about was these you have to list all your unique identifiers and you have to do it within 3 days. And if you don't do it within 3 days, you can be charged. And one of the lawyers asked him, so all this information, all these personal identifiers that you collect, have you ever used any of this information you collected, to like arrest someone for something bad that he did? And the answer was never. There's never been a single time when all this data that they collected was used in a court trial. Never.
Yep.
So they're collecting all this data from you and acting like it's just so important that they have to have every little piece of information from you. And never once have they used that in any cases to help, get somebody in trouble for something they did because it's not a thing. They're making it up. And instead of, they're not actually preventing crime. What they're doing is they're giving them excuses to get people in trouble, right?
Right.
That's all it's for. It's not about public safety. It was never about public safety. It's always been about just harassing people.
Yeah, the money. There's money in
The
it
money.
too, and
Now,
most of
my
it's.
thing never switched. I'm still stuck on the last question, and I never got to vote on this question. Yeah, that is the truth. That happened in a courtroom, of course, so probably no one was recording it. There was no way for us to write that down, but that's the facts. That's what he said. And is there a way, there probably is a way to like get court, like they probably were recording it, right? So you probably could, you probably, yeah, Mark says yes. If it was in a court, yeah, it's the legal placebo that we call the registry. So if we were in court, Mark, is it true that they would have been recording it, and could someone request that recording? Go to the clerk's office and ask for the transcript. Okay.
Yeah, you could
Yeah, and
probably
I
get a
suspect,
transcript. I don't know that you could get a video.
well, transcript counts. And someone's probably already, I mean, maybe the people, maybe our lawyers already have that information. I could get it from our lawyers. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's like, has there ever been a case? The other thing that I remembered seeing, Minnesota once did a study where they studied over the 25 years that the registry had been around in Minnesota. They looked up every single case of, you know, child abuse or child sexual something, and then they looked at where the perpetrator lived. Never once in 25 years did the incident happen close to where the guy lived. You know, it's, you know, everybody wants to believe that every person on the registry is just like sitting in their white van waiting to like snatch a kid off the playground. And that is not how it works. There was never a single case through the 25 years where the person lived was what made the difference. And yet we have residency restrictions that say you can't live anywhere. Well, that's not how these crimes work.
Well, the majority are acquainted,
Ooh,
related.
Mark, you want to raise your hand and tell us what you just typed in the chat about the 11th Circuit Federal Court?
Just released a yes.
Mark, if I unmuted you, would you tell us that in person?
Oh, you definitely just unmuted me. So I hadn't fully read it because obviously, this stuff is
Just
sensitive.
happened.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I didn't deep dive into it, but my mentor, the law firm I work at with Ethan, he actually brought it to my attention first. So I haven't dived into it, but he did say that the 11th Circuit, just ruled that the registry is cruel and unusual. So I know there's a couple of lawyers right now trying to push that up to the Supreme Court to get, don't
Oh,
quote me
yeah.
on the case. There is a case that just went up to the Supreme Court that basically said that the registry is not cruel and unusual. So they're trying to basically use this 11th Circuit case as a legal vessel to push it up to the Supreme Court to get it ruled as cruel and unusual. But I'll have to look it up really quick and then I can drop the link to the
Yeah,
case in the chat.
look it up and put the link in the chat because I would love to read about that. When I looked up, 11th Circuit ruled that registry is cruel and unusual punishment. I'm getting things from 2022, 2023.
Yeah, let me look it up and then I will drop it in the chat for you.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Mark helps me all the time. He's studying law, and so
Well,
sometimes
that's
when I have law
good
questions.
information right there.
Okay, do we have any other questions? I would like to let everybody know that starting in the spring, we're gonna have after they get trained, we're gonna be offering two support groups. Which we're hoping that the support groups are less of somebody's presenting and then we ask questions, and more of just like, let's go around the circle and, you know, raise your hand and share things and get empathy, which I think everybody needs. And you know, I get calls from people all the time who are basically like alone in the world. They got nobody but them, you know,
Well, there's a lot
they
of
just they
times.
need people. They need we all need people, right? We all need love, we all need connection. And trying to live in a world where, you know, your family has abandoned you and maybe your partner abandoned you and it's just you and being on the registry, that is not good for anybody.
Well, there's a lot of times that we are have a question, something that's came up in our life that we're like, well, how do I deal with this? And who do you ask? Because most people that you would ask, they would not have a clue about anything that you're going through, especially with your life. And then it gives another perspective because I have kind of an skewed perspective because of my upbringing, but it's also gives it anytime that you're in a group with more than one or two people sharing ideas, it gives you a building point. And I think it would grow and help. I know it would help me. I enjoy
Absolutely.
that conversation.
Absolutely. All right, John,
a couple
you
of
have your
things based on what you both were just talking about. Warren, I've learned that if I'm talking with a couple of people, I ask them to think about a time, an event, maybe at the worst point in their lives where someone told a lie about them, a lie that was so hurtful, so damaging, and so on and so on, that it really hurt them, and maybe they're carrying the pain even after X number of years and so on. And then I tell them, if you can, multiply that by a figure of at least 100, and you'll get a little bit better idea as to what it's like for someone who's on the registry. Now, that's one thing.
Yep.
The other, and this has been something that's been brought up from time to time, that's where so many of the groups say, okay, everybody out there, you need to prepare what's called an elevator speech, and where you are going to catch someone's attention by throwing a fact, a law at them. And the overwhelming majority of people that I've talked with do not know, or they're so floored by what I throw at them that in more than a few cases, it gets them to open up and start asking more questions. My favorite elevator speech, and again, this is Arkansas specific, but please, anyone, everyone, come up with what would work for your particular state. My elevator speech is, do you know what the minimum age is that will put a person on the Arkansas sex offense registry? And when I give them the answer, 13,
yep,
they're floored. And then
yep,
I make sure to follow it up. And I say, okay, in Texas, it's 10. In Georgia, it's 8. And
yep,
the number of shocked expressions is incredible. And at the very least, it pries open the door a little bit to where you can maybe start saying, okay, you don't like this? Who does? But that's the
yeah,
way the laws are.
Yeah.
So a little elevator speech, something that's going to really catch them, surprise them.
Yeah. One of the ones I use is that 25 to 35% of people on the registry are on it for something they did when they were themselves a juvenile.
Right. Right.
You know, so you think we're protecting our children, but the children are being swept up into this registry just as fast as anybody else. So, you know, you think you're protecting your child, you should be protecting them from this, you know.
The original Megan's Law was not what it is today.
No, no.
Because it had five categories
Yeah.
that were registrable.
Parsol, the Pennsylvania version of Narsol, recently did a thing where they went to their state capitol and they brought all kinds of things that were like big deals in the 90s. You know, they brought, I don't know, boom boxes and phones from the 90s and all kinds of different stuff from the 90s just to show when the registry was put into place, this is the world we lived in. And
yeah,
now we live in this totally different world, and we somehow are expecting, you know, the registry has not matured as the world has, and yeah, we're not doing ourselves any favors here.
Yeah, actually, we're costing ourselves a lot of money.
Yeah, is that, what was that number again? How many?
$2 million a day.
Is that actually possible? People who know things.
I looked it up in the budget. Online on their website.
Just in Missouri?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. I'll get all that paperwork together that I did that research and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
I put earlier in the comment something that was done here in Arkansas a few years ago. If anything, the numbers have gone up, but you'll find it in the chat. This state will spend in direct costs $24,000 per year per inmate, and at the same time spend $4,000 per public school student per year.
So how much 25,000 on every
24,
inmate?
24,000 as opposed to 4,000. Every state, suggestion, everybody in every state, you need to find out about that. You need to make a comparison like that. And hit hard the burden on the taxpayer. Hit hard the burden on the taxpayer.
Yep. The people that are paying for it are
Well, even
the
is that civil commitment, it's more like 125,000 per person per year.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
It costs that much.
Civil commitment, it's way more.
Mm-hmm.
And they get less therapy.
Right.
In civil commitment, they're getting like what did Thaisa say, like one real session a month, once a week, I've heard. Yeah, it's an hour a week. So we're spending $100,000 to give you 1 hour a week of help.
Narsal just today sent out an article about a person who is incarcerated as a minor and is now held in civil commitment. I forget the state, but it was something that was just sent out today. And it has,
Narsal.
yeah, Narsal sent it out just today. And it
Oh.
basically, it's the big failure. It's the big failure because the person is treated. The focal point in that article, that person is treated much worse than someone in quote unquote regular prison. And you reminded me of something else. A couple of days ago, Radley Balco, Washington Post reporter, or former Post reporter, Radley Balco, wrote an article about the after effects, the years long after effects of a person being falsely accused of sex abuse of minors. And how the stigma, how the suspicion still sticks with him after
Yeah.
so many years. Anyone who would like a link to it, I can send that. I've got it.
Well, get in the chat, because we've only got 2 minutes left, and
Okay.
I want to tell people how to share the chat. Oh, six
Okay.
sir. So Mark, this was that Michigan case. Michigan's been stuff happening in Michigan is a big deal, and I'm very hopeful that makes it to the Supreme Court. And I mean, although God knows what the Supreme Court's going to do with it these days. Supreme Court is not exactly acting like normal Supreme Court.
No.
Okay, so John, you think you could get that in the chat here in our last 1 minute so that people would have it to save?
If I can't, I'll send it to you directly.
Okay. All right. So yeah, Mark put something in there about this Doe's versus Whitmer. It's Doe's 3 in Michigan. There have been three Doe in Michigan. And they've all been fairly good, but they just keep getting challenged. They'll win in court, and then someone will appeal it, and then they'll have to wait patiently. But if they can get that through, it would take a lot of people off the registry in Michigan.
Yes.
It's a really big deal. All right. Well, it's 8:30. I don't want to keep people longer than I'd like to rec what do you call I'd like to respect people's time.
Yep.
So, Warren, thank you so much for your time with us today. And thank you for
Yep.
agreeing to go take Circle People training and hopefully make us a support group starting in, I want to say, March or something.
Something.
Sometime, as soon as we can get it.
Yep.
And thank everybody for coming. And
Thank
Google
all the
accusing
participation.
Jordan Silverman. All right, there's another thing. So I'm going to share with everybody how to save this chat, because people put stuff in there that you might want to look into later.
Yep.
To save the chat, you go to the three dots at the top of the chat that says more, and one of them will say save chat.
Okay.
All right, thank you everybody, and I will see you in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, bye everybody. Love you all.
Hi, baby.